Our scripture lesson today comes from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, near the beginning of the Gospel. In the way that Luke tells the story, what happens immediately before today's passage is Jesus going to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And then straight from the waters of baptism, where he has had the Holy Spirit descend upon him, where he's heard the heavenly voice proclaim, "You are my beloved Son," with that identity pronounced loud and clear on him, from the waters, he heads into the wilderness. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him at the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. That command is woven in to the song and poetry of the Psalms. Be still so that you may know who your God is. With this theme, we begin the 40-day journey of Lent. As Anna mentioned already, that journey officially began on Wednesday, but this is still in the season of beginnings of the season, as the first Sunday of Lent. And so it's appropriate that we begin these 40 days where Jesus did, with his story of being tempted in the wilderness. The temptations. Not the band, the Temptations. Wouldn't have been quite appropriate, Randy, if the handbell choir played "My Girl" or "Ain't Too Proud to Beg" this morning. The temptations of Jesus. It's a powerful story. It's one that's not only told in the Gospels, but picked up in other parts of Scripture. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us that Christ can sympathize with us in our weakness because he was tempted like us in every way, yet without sin. The story of Jesus resisting temptation is a powerful story about Jesus' identity as the Son of God. It inspires us with a glimpse of good conquering evil. Hopefully, it teaches us something about our own resistance to temptations. But what exactly does this story have to do with Sabbath, our Lenten theme, with the biblical command to rest? Let's explore a little bit and see what we might find. The first temptation, to turn stones into bread. The quick temptation to fill his empty belly. Jesus faces this one quickly. to satisfy his surface level hunger. It seems to me that this temptation is all about power. Power rooted in security. In the wilderness, there's no bakery for miles and miles, but there are plenty of stones scattering the ground. To paraphrase Samuel Taylor Coleridge, rocks, rocks everywhere, but not a loaf to eat. If only I could turn these useless pebbles into something useful, something reliable, something to protect me from worry or fear of going hungry. We face this temptation as well, don't we? For power rooted in security. We want job security, health security, national security, food security, home security. Will there be enough to protect me, to fill me, to feed me all the way to the end? But this fear-based power of security in the end comes up empty. Jesus responds, "One does not live by bread alone. It is God alone, God's word, that can truly fill our hunger. It's in communion, not commodities, that we will find our true hunger filled, that we will quell our fearful desires for security." So the devil moves on. Round two. The temptation to rule over all the nations if you worship me. The temptation to be on the winning side, the winning team, the winning party. The temptation to rule. It seems to me that this temptation too is all about power. Power that comes from success. Surely, the ends justify the means, don't they? One little half-hearted worship of evil, you don't even have to really mean it. Just go through the motions, and it will all be yours. All the kingdoms of the world. This past week, our family took a trip down to Disney World. You can't go to Disney without visiting Epcot. And around that little lake, interestingly, you will find all the kingdoms of the world represented. Little sections of the park devoted to different countries, to England and France, to Norway, China, Japan, Morocco. There was a section that was sort of all of Africa put in one. They need a lot of work on that one. This scripture was rolling around in the back of my mind as I walked around that lake and thought, all the kingdoms of the world, where are they oriented? What are they facing? From my extensive study at Epcot, I discovered the one thing that unites all these cultures. All the music, all the art, all the diversity of humanity there in one place. The one unifying factor I found is that they all serve their food on the same size trays that are very difficult to balance in a large crowd. All the kingdoms of the world. Now, truth be told, most of us don't on a regular basis face this temptation for world domination. That sounds like something more out of the realm of a superhero movie with a supervillain trying to conquer the world. But we sure do face the desire for power rooted in success. It runs through our lives, through our world, through our schools, through our families. Make something of yourself. By doing it right, by succeeding, the perfect report card, the perfect wedding, the perfect car, the perfect house, the perfect gift, the perfect title, winning at all cost, winning the game, winning the election, winning the raise, winning that crucial work March Madness bracket that's coming. Winning. The success and power that it brings. Jesus responds to this all too familiar temptation with the most basic command of the Judeo-Christian tradition. Worship the Lord your God and serve God alone. In both of these first two temptations, Jesus relies on the Old Testament teachings, the Old Testament laws, the Torah found in the book of Deuteronomy. That's where he grounds the wisdom of his response. And so we move on to round three. The temptations reach their pinnacle, literally, in the third test, the temple in Jerusalem. And now the devil doubles down on his tactics. He too quotes Scripture. He says, "Oh yeah, it is written that you can throw yourself down from this height. And if God is really who you say God is, those angels will catch you. That sounds too good to be true. So go ahead. Prove it. Prove it. Call God's bluff. Force God's hand. If you are the Son of God, control the situation and give us some crystal clear clarity. Shut up your opponents. Show them who you really are." It seems to me that this temptation also is all about power. Power to control. For Jesus, in this instance, it's the power to force God's hand. Some of us may have attempted such a move with the Almighty, but more often than not, we try to control other things, don't we? To control the clock, that was harder than usual this morning. To control the temperature, mostly though, we try to control other people. To bend them to our own will. To make them act the way we want them to act. To control the situation by complaining or threatening or manipulating. By trying too hard or passive-aggressively, not trying hard enough. We all, from infants to adults, seek to control others for our own benefit. It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes by the theologian Thomas Merton. He says, contrary to this temptation, he says, "The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves and to not twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them." Let me repeat that. That was a lot. The beginning of love is to let those we love be perfectly themselves and not to twist them to fit our own image. Otherwise, we love only the reflection of ourselves we find in them. It is written, the devil says, and Jesus responds, but it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is said. Jesus' response to the devil's temptation is rooted not only in what is written on the page, but what is lived out in the community of faith throughout the generations. What is spoken and said by those who have internalized the commands into a way of life. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. In each case, in each temptation, Jesus resists by letting go of power. Sabbath, as we will see throughout our study this season, Sabbath is not just a mandate for one day of rest written in the pages of Scripture. It's deeper than that. Its meaning is rooted in the internalized, lived experience of the community of faith, in the actions on all days of the week, the actions of stopping, of ceasing, of letting go. By taking Sabbath from the power of security, the power of success, and the power of control, by taking Sabbath from such power, Jesus withstands his test. He shoos the evil one away and lives into his true identity, which is not about titles, but about his relationship with God. One of my favorite stories of all time is J.R.R. Tolkien's epic fantasy, The Lord of the Rings. If you haven't read it, that might be an interesting Lenten discipline to think about. But if you haven't read it, the way the story works is there is a sort of Satan figure, the embodiment of all evil, and he pours his energy, his power, his malice into one object, one weapon, a ring. A ring of power, which he wears to conquer in his attempt all the kingdoms of the world. But in the story, the good guys happen to come across this ring by innocent chance. And their quest is not to use the weapon of power against the enemy. Their quest, that takes three books to unravel, is to destroy it by letting go. By letting go, by throwing away, by destroying the most powerful weapon known in their world. That's quite the opposite of the way most of our heroic stories go, don't they? Most of the time, the heroes are the ones who go and win by using their power, by conquering their enemies, or the great quests are those to find the objects of great power. Think King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table, searching for that holy grail. The Lord of the Rings is the inverse of that. It's only by letting go that true power can be accomplished. The strongest characters in the tale are the ones who each face their own moment of temptation, their own test, where they are tempted to grasp for good or for ill the power of that ring. But the strongest ones, large and small, are the ones who resist the temptation, who do not seek that power, but who can let go. Jesus's temptation, the story that we have heard, is all about letting go, taking Sabbath, releasing the power of security, of success, of control. It's here in this wilderness encounter that Jesus' ministry begins. But of course, we know where it's going to end. Where our 40-day journey of Lent will end as well, at the foot of a cross, where the most powerful being in the cosmos, the one who commands all of creation, lets go of power, takes the ultimate Sabbath from success and control, by letting himself be nailed to a cross, letting himself die for us, so that resurrection life might become our new creation, our new reality. And so, friends, as we begin this journey together, following our Lord and Savior, may we too stop, pause, take Sabbath by letting go. To God alone be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.